what I deserved. It's what you deserved. But he did it for us. What a God we serve. And I'm excited about, we preached this morning on God our banner. And he's that banner for us. And we ought to be that light to show this lost and dying world on who he is. And just excited about the word of God. I've learned a lot in studying it. Listen, anything you need to know in life, you can find from the Bible. You say, what do you mean? God teaches us all that we need to know. He gives us his word to guide us every step of the way. And we heard this morning, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's the one there leading us and guiding us and directing us. And I'm so excited to be a child of God tonight. Take your Bibles again, if you would, please, to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Last Sunday night, we preached on choosing godly counsel or choosing counselors. And we started identifying, in order for us to choose the kind of counsel that God wants us to have, we have to be able to identify what a bad counselor is and what a good counselor is. And just for those of you that weren't here last week, we're not going to spend time really focusing in and going back through all the verses that we read, but I am going to touch on the points that we gave to you and kind of lead up to where we are and then finish out the message here tonight. But I would invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. This word counselor is something that jumped off the page at me, and I think it's very important for us to have godly counsel in our lives. It's very important for us. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there is safety, and it's very vital for each and every one of us to have people that we know we can go to that are walking with God that can help us when we go to make decisions. And so we're going to preach tonight on choosing counsel or choosing godly counsel, part two. We'll finish that tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get in your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you use the word of God to strengthen us, to help us, to change us here this evening. Lord, as we start in on this soul winning conference today, Lord, I'm already encouraged by what you've done in seeing the soul saved yesterday and the gospel that was given out. And Lord, just the excitement on Friday night of Roger being saved. And Lord, I'm just excited for what you're going to do in the future. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we study through your word, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, but Lord, being able to know and understand what he tries to do. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Every one of us, we talked last week, has a counselor, no matter how old we are. Even the oldest person in the room, which is probably Brother Jim. The oldest person in the room, I'm sorry, I can't help it. He just radiates pick on me. I can't help it. I have to pray for some temperance, self-control. Talked about that on Wednesday night. But everyone has a counselor, no matter how old we are. We ought to have somebody that we know that we can go to whenever we're faced with a decision that we need to make. And we begin to talk about that, some identifying some traits. There's some people, it may be parents, maybe pastor, a good Christian friend, whatever it is, we need to make sure that we're getting godly counsel, not counsel of the wicked. And Psalm 1 is a very vital message in that. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and do godly things, because ungodly people can't give you godly advice. And so we have to, that's common sense, and that was free. It don't cost you anything extra for that one. But ungodly people don't give godly counsel. And so we need to make sure that we're looking to godly people. We talked about traits of a good counselor, how they were a good example, grounded in the scripture, geared for listening, that God is in control of their life, that God guides, gives them guidance in their life, and they're great communicators and talking to folks. That's some character traits of a godly counselor. Then we got to the point of different kinds of counselors. There was the froward counselor, which is the one who is crooked in their dealings or distorts the truth of the Word of God. One of my kids mentioned, I think, Did you mention Benny Hinn this morning in junior church or something? Somebody said, who's Benny Hinn, Dad? And so we started talking to them about Benny Hinn, and they were like, they really believe him? I was like, yeah, people really believe him, and they think that this is how naive people really are, is they really believe the reason they're not healed is because they don't believe enough. They don't believe enough. That's why they're not being healed. No, what it is the guy walked into the building, sat in a wheelchair, and they put him up on a stage, and the guy acted like he's a fraud, okay? He's twisting the truth of the Word of God, okay? Those are the kind of people that we're talking about, forward counselors. There's wicked counselors, people that are just wicked. Their evil just flows out of them. There's wicked counselers that we see, and the Bible talks about them. There's ignorant counselors, people who have probably good intentions but lack wisdom. There's ignorant counselors. I'm amazed by the number of people that give unscriptural counsel to other people. It amazes me. People come up and they'll mention something going on in their life, and people just give them this is what I think you ought to do, and there's no spirituality to it whatsoever. That's an ignorant counselor. Then we talked about an ungodly counselor, and Psalm 1:1 talked about that. We mentioned that. Wise people will keep good company, but ignorant people or people that are around ungodly counsel are going to be around getting ungodly counsel are going to do ungodly things. That's why it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You shouldn't even be around them and communicating with those that aren't giving you godly advice. If your friends draw you away from God, they're not your friends. We talked about that. If there's people that try to point you away from God's truth and God's law, they are an ungodly counselor, and you need to stay away from them. Then we talked about impotent counselors, or counselors that they're of no worth. There was no worth to what their counsel says or any of that stuff. And then we went through and talked about wise counselors in Proverbs 24 and verse 6. We talked about how we ought to find wise counsel. But then we got to the counsel of the Lord. And listen, we ought to be looking for godly counselors in our life that can heal. God puts people in our lives to help us. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Listen, we ought to have godly people in our lives that we go to when we're struggling with a decision. But the problem is, before we go to godly people that we're supposed to look to help us along the way, we shouldn't bypass the main source of counsel, and that is God. God is the main source of counsel. We need to go to the Lord, and God gives direction through His Word. We saw that in Psalm 16 and verse 7, and we ought to seek the Lord's will first and then make our plans. Oftentimes, we make our plans and we try to fit God's purpose to our plans and say, well, that must be God's will. That's not the way it works. God, we need to seek His approval and His plan before we ever begin to make those decisions. So everything we do in life, we ought to ask God's advice about it first. That's the first thing we ought to do. And so don't make plans and then ask God about it. But the Bible gives some insight about the counsel of the Lord. And we said, first off, that it was immutable. It's changeless. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. We talked about the counsel of the Lord and how it's immutable. And listen, we're going to get to the message here in just a minute. I'm recapping because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I haven't heard something for a week or so, it kind of goes away, and so I need it to come back. It's immutable, which means it's changeless. It's incorruptible. God's counsel is untampered by man. That's good. See, that's why it's important to have the Word of God. It's untampered by man. See, these other perversions have been tampered by man. They've been distorted. They've been ruined, basically, as you would say, because God's Word is what's going to stand forever. It's incorruptible. It's fruitful. It produces fruit in our life. That's where we can get counsel from. It's incredible. We talked about it's wonderful. In Isaiah 28 and verse 29, we talked about how the counsel of the Lord is forever, and it's wonderful. Man, what a blessing that is. It's immortal. We talked about it's eternal. It lasts forever. We read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, and Psalm 33 and verse 11, and Proverbs 19 and verse 21. And here we are. This is where we've gotten to. We're here at this place where the counsel of the Lord. Man, what a joy it is to have the counsel of the Lord. But not only do we see that it's forever, it's eternal, and it's also inerrant. What's that mean? It's true and reliable. It's true and reliable. Look at Isaiah 25, if you would, please. Isaiah 25. In verse number 1, it says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will extol thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Listen, it is true and reliable. The counsel of the Lord, you don't have to worry about, well, I wonder if this is the right kind of decision. I wonder if this is the right kind of counsel. The counsel of the Lord is true and faithful. You can count on it. If God says it, that's the way it's supposed to be. When it comes to the area of salvation, the best counsel you can ever get is from the Word of God, and it's going to give you this. You're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin has a penalty, that payment, that wage, that earning, that investment of your sin. It said the wages of sin is death. And we know that. The Bible says that we're sinners. That's good counsel. Helps us to understand some things. Doesn't tell us what we want to hear. What we want to hear is, oh, you can be good enough and go to heaven. What we want to hear is, hey, you can just live life the way you want to live it. When you're old, you just come back to God and say, God, hey, you know, it's not that way. The Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit draws men unto himself and that they're sinners in need of a Savior, and there's a gift of eternal life that only comes through Jesus Christ and him alone, and putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you were here on Wednesday night, we talked about getting the righteousness of God that comes through Jesus Christ by faith. The only way that a sinner can ever have the righteousness of God is through salvation. And we have to have that. That's good counsel. That is true and reliable stuff. He says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's true and reliable advice. God's telling you, if you'll have faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's good counsel. And then he says it's forever. It's eternal. You can't lose it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's true and reliable stuff. Where do we get that? From the Bible, from God's Word. The Lord's, His counsel is inerrant. It's true and reliable. God's counsel is also illuminating. It's illuminating. You say, what's that mean? It gives guidance and direction in dark times. It gives guidance and direction in dark times. Look at Psalm 73, if you would. While we're waiting there, or while you're turning there, Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Listen, that is what the counsel of God does. It illuminates, gives guidance and direction through those valleys in our lifetime. But also in Psalm 73 and verse number 24, look what the Bible says. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He says, you should guide me with thy counsel. Listen, it guides us and gives us direction. When you don't know what to do, what do? You go to the counsel of the Lord. It illuminates, it lights up the direction, it shows you what you're supposed to do. There's been times that people say, well, preacher, I just don't know how to find the will of God for my life. Well, what you do when you don't know how to find the will of God for your life, you go to the Bible and find his stated will. And do what he commands you to do in this book. That's the will of God. He wants you to get out there, and he wants you to love others as Christ loved the church. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to live holy as he is holy. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to do all of that. But how do we know those things? Is the illumination of the Word of God and studying through it and finding what God wants us to do. Listen, there's times that we're depressed. There's times that we're down and out. There's times that Satan, Brother Doug even mentioned it this morning in his Sunday school class, that discouragement and that defeat that Satan tries to bring about, that doubt and discouragement that brings defeat. That's what Paul was talking to Timothy about when he said, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He was talking about the fear that Satan brings in the dark times, in the valleys when we're afraid. We have that doubt and discouragement which turns into defeat. But how God gives us that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where does that come from? The illumination of God's word in our life. God's counsel illuminates. It gives direction. But also, I want you to understand this. God's counsel is impugned by the wicked. You say, what's that mean? It's despised by evil. It's despised by evil. And Brother Josh, I did look in the dictionary for that one, okay? He's like, well, where do you come up with these words sometimes? Okay, dictionary helps. We can use it every so often. Praise the Lord. Look at Proverbs, if you would, please. Chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. The Lord's counsel is despised by evil. Proverbs 1. Look at verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsels, and would not, and would none of my reproof. Look at verse 30. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. God's counsel is despised by the wicked. What causes that? Pride. Pride causes us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We think our wisdom is higher than God's wisdom. We reject God and God's counsel, and it leads men to rebellion. That's what it does. But the wicked are the ones that don't like the counsel of God. You know why? Because it exposes who we are. It exposes our sinfulness. It exposes the wicked lifestyles in which we live. It exposes who we are on the inside. By the way, who you are when nobody else is watching is who you really are. You can put on a big front and a facade in front of other people. Especially independent Baptists are good at playing the Christian game. We're very good at that. We're good at living life the way we want to live and walking in those back doors and acting like, hey, we follow the counsel of God. We're here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, preacher. And that's the only spirituality we have all week long. And understand something. The wicked despise the counsel of God. So when the counsel of God is brought into your life and through the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to try to direct your life, whether it be in joining in a Sunday school class, whether it be driving a church bus, whether it be starting a ministry, whether it be getting involved on the mission field, whether it be asking to do something, being a soul winner, whatever it is, that's God's guidance and direction in our life and our counsel. When we despise that, we are likened to the wicked. We're likened to the wicked. We don't like to hear that. Preacher, I'm not wicked. Well, what do the wicked do? Look at verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They despised all my... Listen, they despised the word of God. That's what happens when we have a wicked lifestyle inside of us. Those of you that weren't here this morning, somebody came up to me and said, you know, talked to me this morning about what God showed me in Genesis chapter number 3. Isn't it amazing how the Bible just lights itself up to us sometimes? I was talking to Brother Shane about that, and we're like, man, I had never thought of it before. I'm sure there's somebody way more intelligent than me that thought of it, which first God thought of it a long time ago. But there's other people that I'm sure have heard it. I just never heard it said before. But I was reading about it, and when it said that the serpent should eat of the dust of the ground all the days of their life, listen, guess what happens? When it says the serpent eats of the dust of the ground, what are you and I made of? Dust. God formed us out of the dust of the ground, didn't he? So when we sow to the flesh, who are we feeding? The serpent. We're feeding Satan, aren't we? Listen, where does that stuff come from? Illumination of the Word of God. God shows us those kind of things. Have you ever thought about the fact in Genesis 3 as well, when God cursed the ground, he said thorns and thistles came forth? What are thorns and thistles a representation of? The curse of God because of the sin of man. Well, what was on his head when he died on the cross? The very curse of sin was placed upon Jesus. All of that's just coincidence in this book, right? No, that's God's perfect plan and his perfect design and his perfect direction. Only the wicked despise the counsel of God. We have to get back to trusting in the counsel of God. The counsel of the Lord is the greatest counsel you'll ever find. And sometimes, though, we need some help along the way. Sometimes in our studies, we need some help, and that's why it's important to have a multitude of counselors that we go to talk to about things, Just because I'm a pastor does not mean I've arrived. There's several times I've had to call people and say, hey, I need some help in this. I need some direction. Can you show me? But listen, I always try to go to the Lord first. And listen, if I'm faithful and I'm following the Lord's, a lot of times if I'm with the right kind of counselors, guess what they're going to do? They're going to tell me exactly what the Lord's trying to tell me. And we don't always like it. Because you know what? We have to chop off the pride. We have to die to self. We have to put ourselves in the back and just trust in God's plan and His will for our lives. And that's not easy to do. But we're going to look now at biblical principles about counsel. Biblical principles about counsel. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Firstly, I want you to see there's safety in many counselors. Safety in many counselors. Look at verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You see what it says? Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, don't think that, well, I don't need to go to somebody and ask advice. I can handle this on my own. You can't handle it on your own. I can't handle it on my own. We have to go to counsel. First, go to God. Talk to godly people to try to get some direction in your life on what God has in store for you. Because in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be safe. That's why we lock our doors at night, right? Because we like to be safe, especially in Salisbury. Okay, you lock your doors. Put the padlock on it, the chain lock, put the chair in front of the door handle, and then pack a gun. Okay, all of that stuff. You try to be safe. Okay, we like safety. We enjoy that. But listen, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. It amazes me that we understand, Brother Shane, there's crime all over the place. And we'll lock our doors, and we'll at nighttime, man, we get the whole house just closed up like Fort Knox. Because we don't want anybody coming in while we're sleeping. We don't want anybody coming in our house. Even during the day, a lot of times, sometimes we lock the doors, except for Brother Frank's neighbor, what he was telling me the other night. He's like, she just leaves her door open the whole night for her cats and everything else that come in. But listen, that ain't me. I don't let cats in my house anyway. But we lock the doors, okay? We lock the doors, padlock them, all that. Why? Because we want to be safe from those that are trying to do us harm, right? So let me ask you this. Why don't we put spiritual locks in our life? Why don't we put up some barriers and some guard from that devil who's trying to devour us? Why don't we put up some walls that stop Satan? That's what convictions are. You understand? Convictions are there to keep you in a boundary, to keep you safe. We have those things. Why? Because Satan is trying to destroy us, and in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We need to go to godly counsel. There's safety. Also look at Proverbs 15, if you would please. Proverbs 15. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. There's safety in going to people, but there's also security in knowing, hey, I actually sought some counsel. You get some security and some peace of mind about having godly counsel in your life. In verse 22, let's read it again. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. So there's safety in many counselors. There's security in many counselors. Listen, don't get tunnel vision in your life. Okay, well, I'm focused on this. This is what I think needs to happen. No, open up. Let people give you some advice. There's times, I'm just going to be transparent with you. There's times that sometimes I get in my mind what I think needs to be done. I think, well, you know what? I think I ought to do this. And I don't want to ask anybody, Brother Nick, because you know what? Somebody might say something different than what I'm thinking needs to be done. I definitely don't want to ask her. Okay? Because I think if I say something to her about it, what if she doesn't agree with me? You know? And listen, there's been times that she said, hey, sweetheart, tell you about this. And you know what we could do? Who do you think you are, lady? But listen, we ought to have counsel and be willing to accept counsel. We ought to be willing to accept people telling us, hey, why don't you try this or maybe go this direction? Especially godly counselors. If somebody's godly, listen, you can trust their advice. They're not out to harm you. They're out to help you. So if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, by the way, have you ever tried this? Maybe it'll help you. Maybe somebody's in your Sunday school class and they hear you teaching and they're a godly person. And they come up to you afterwards and say, hey, you know what? I thought maybe this would help us get more people in the class. Don't be like, well, who do you think you are? I'm the teacher here. Listen, we ought to have counsel. Be willing. There's security in it. It gives peace of mind. There's safety in it. There's security in it. We got to be willing to accept counsel. None of us have arrived. None of us have. But understand this, there's also people who give selfish counsel, and selfish counsel leads to failure. Look at Job 18. Job 18. Job chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Listen, when you're giving somebody counsel, if somebody trusts you to give counsel, don't give selfish counsel that benefits you. Give godly counsel. There's often times where it'd be much easier, Brother Travis, just to tell somebody what they want to hear, something that'll benefit you. Hey, by the way, you should do this. But listen, we have to have God's wisdom when we give counsel to people. I would rather somebody say to me, I don't know. I don't know what you should do than to give me some bogus advice. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. But listen, that ought to challenge you to go to the Bible. That ought to challenge you to go to the Lord. Why? So that you can give good, sound advice, not selfish advice. Also, a shortness of patience concerning the Lord's counsel leads to trouble. You say, what do you mean? We ask God for something, we expect it now. Anybody ever done that? Ask God for, give you a direction, and we want it immediately. God, I've lived this life of wickedness. I want you to show me what you want me to do for the rest of my life. God, show me if you want me to be a missionary, all this stuff. Show me now. And then we get impatient. God, you don't care about me. You didn't show me right then. We have that fast food mentality on it. Listen, God wants you to be faithful in it. Look at Psalm 106, if you would, please. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, starting in verse 13. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Did you see what it said? It said they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. Israel was consumed with getting what they wanted rather than what God wanted. That's what they were consumed with. And that's how we get in our life. We're consumed with what we want rather than what God wants for us. We're consumed with what we think, what we feel, rather than what God thinks and God feels. And we get just like this. We don't wait patiently for God's counsel. We just say, God, this is what I want. If you remember all the way back in Israel, the only king that Israel was supposed to have was God, the Messiah. But they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted a king. So God gave them a king. Listen, God sometimes does it. He said, but there's leanness in their soul. We got to wait patiently for the Lord. Wait for his counsel. Wait for his counsel. We want immediate satisfaction. We want God to answer us right now. When God gives an answer or delays, it's always what is best in God's timing. We have people that say, well, God, you didn't show me what you wanted me to do right then, so I don't really know what to do. What do you do during that time? You stand still. and you pray, and you read, and you study, and you search. You don't make a decision until God makes it clear to you. That's just the way it goes. Well, I don't like to wait. Well, you need to wait. Why? Because if you don't, there's trouble that follows. There's trouble that follows. The source of wise counsel is God. We've read about that, the Lord's counsel. But I want you to look over at Psalm 16, if you would please. Psalm chapter number 16. And verse number 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Listen, God is the source of wise counsel. Look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Why are we looking at all the scripture? Because that's what changes us. That's what teaches us, is looking at the Bible. Not man's opinions, but what God says. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and an evil way and a froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. God says counsel is mine. He's the source of counsel. He's the one we ought to be going to. He is the foundation in which everything you and I stand on in our Christian life. Or he ought to be. He ought to be. He's the source of wise counsel. He's the source of wise counsel. Also, it is smart to listen to wise counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs is a book of what? Wisdom. It's a book of wisdom, which the whole Bible gives you wisdom, but Proverbs is known as a book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. God is the source of all counsel, but guess what? It is smart for us to listen to godly counsel. It is very smart for us to do that. It's wisdom for us. Absalom listened to foolish counsel. He listened to foolish counsel. Samson did not listen to his parents when they told him, hey, you ought not to go over there. He didn't listen. He didn't listen to his parents. People would rather not listen to experience, but they say that they want to experience what they want to do so that they can learn from it. That's a lack of intelligence. Why wouldn't you learn and have smarts about you and listen to counsel of people who have been there and done that and know what it's going to cause and know the destruction that it brings or know the outcome of the circumstance rather than saying, hey, I need to figure it out for myself? That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I was talking to Brother Doug was talking about how the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Talked about that. Look not on the wine when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. All of those things in Proverbs when it's talking about what wine does. It said, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. Talking about being intoxicated or drunk with wine and all of those things. I talked to a man when I was a police officer, Steve, who was a homeless man. You guys have probably heard me give this illustration before. Some of you have not. In 3.5 years of dealing with Steve, there was one time in 3.5 years that I found the man sober. One time. During that time, he told me his testimony. The man was about 27 years of age at the time, living on the street, had nothing, climbed through dumpsters each night to try to get food or to find things to buy more alcohol and do what he could do there. And I began to talk to him. And Steve told me a story about his life. He said when he was 18, he got involved with a very well-known contractor and began to learn and do some things, taking some classes and had his own business. At the age of 21, he owned a house and boats and cars, had a very successful construction business, had a wife and a little kid. All that one night he came home and found his wife cheated on him with another man. He said this to me. He said, I turned to alcohol because of my problem, and alcohol became my problem. That's what the guy told me. Okay, and so you say, what's the purpose of this story? Though he wasn't a saved man, let me explain something. He told me some very wise stuff right there. He told me some wise stuff. What was it? Don't do what I did, because it'll lead you down a road that you don't want to go down. And listen, there's people in this church, young people, listen, that have experienced life. And they've had the curveballs of life thrown at them. And they tell you, hey, don't go down that road. Don't hang out with this kind of people. Don't go in this atmosphere. Why? Because it's only going to lead you to destruction. And you say, that's not going to happen to me. I go to church. That's unintelligent. Learn from wise counsel. Learn from wise counsel. When somebody tells you, hey, the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. Don't be mad at God when you sow to the flesh and there's corruption in your life. Because the Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Sin is fun for a season. But guess what? That season ends. It says in due time, you'll reap if you faint not. So then why do we get upset at God when things don't go our way, when it seems like our whole world comes crashing down because we're living life the way we want to live it rather than the way God says it? And we say, God, if you know what? You're supposed to love me. Everything's supposed to be fine. That's not the way He says it's supposed to be. You can't live life the way you want to live it. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You're supposed to live life for Him. And He gives you counsel in His Word that He wants you to follow. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let me ask you this. How are you at being holy? That's God's counsel in our life. When we don't abide by God's counsel, we are rejecting wise counsel, which makes us foolish. It makes us foolish. It's smart to listen to wise counsel. Absalom didn't listen. Samson didn't listen to wise counsel. He wanted to experience it for himself. Guess what? We're supposed to heed and obey God's counsel. You know what God told Saul? Utterly destroy the Amalekites. Destroy them. Why? They're the enemy of God. Get rid of them. He didn't heed. He didn't obey. He lost his kingdom. Got mad at God. Why? Was it God's fault? No. It was his. Why? He didn't listen to wise counsel. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. We need to listen to wise counsel. Listen, I know this is not some dynamic sermon, but it's truth from the Word of God. And what we need to understand is that when the truth of the Word of God is being preached, we need to soak it up like a sponge. You know why? Because Satan is trying to devour us. He's trying to sift us as wheat. Satan doesn't care about you. He doesn't care how long you've been in church. He doesn't care how many hymnals you've sung. All he cares about is destroying you. And there's people, pastors and teachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and lay people in the church that care about you. And that try to tell you, hey, don't go down that road. Stay faithful. Follow God. Do what God says to do. Why? Because they know what happens when you don't. You know what we do is we go out and say, well, that's not going to happen to me. That may have happened to so-and-so, but I'm stronger than that. Listen, you're no match for Satan. I'm no match for Satan. The only thing we have that can combat against Satan is the armor of God. It said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, that you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why? Because that sword is the only thing that cuts Satan. And then it says praying always. In prayer and supplication, understand this. We got to pray and be clean, usable vessels so that we can win this battle against Satan. You say, well, where do you get that from? The Bible. That means we ought to follow it. Why? Because God is the best counselor we'll ever get. But when we are struggling, when we don't know which direction to go, when we don't know what to do, seek godly advice. Seek godly counsel. You cannot go and follow after God if you're going to somebody who is ungodly. You have to follow somebody who's godly. You know why? Because they're walking after the things of God. That just makes sense, right? If you have an automobile problem, you're not going to go ask a contractor how to fix it. You're going to ask a mechanic that knows what to do. Why? Because they've been there. They've worked on the problem. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for me to come to Brother Doug and say, Brother Doug, I know you're an engineer on houses there, but I'm wondering about the foundation on my house. When I'm doing the foundation on my house, how do I lay the bricks? He's like, I don't do that part. I just design the thing. You know, I put it all together. And then I come to say, well, Brother Doug, off the house thing here, my car, I'm having some issues with it. And this is what, Brother Doug, I really don't know what to tell you. If I want to go after cars, I'm going to say, hey, Travis. If I have something going wrong in my car, I would probably go to Travis before I go to Brother Doug. You know why? Travis works in a mechanic shop. Even though he works on Volkswagens, that's why he's got a job all the time, right? Because he's working on Volkswagens. I had to get that dig in there, Travis. I'm sorry. But listen, godly counsel, okay? I just ruined the whole spirit of the service right there. Godly counsel. We got to go to godly counsel. I'm not going to try to find somebody who has no idea what I'm dealing with when I go to them about something. I'm going to try to go to somebody that has some experience about it. Somebody that knows what they're talking about. Why? Because they've been there. They've learned. And it's wise to listen to people that have been there and done it and have experienced it. But go to godly people who aren't going to say, well, just wash it all away with that alcohol. That's not what you're supposed to do. Go to God. Cast all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He tells you all those things. Why? Because he wants you to succeed. God wants you to make it, but you got to trust in him. How do we do that? We seek godly counsel. We go to the Lord. We go through the Word of God. We find people that live this book. I didn't say they just say this book. Sometimes they live this book. Somebody who practices what they preach. They don't just say, well, I'm spiritual, but then you see them out there acting like the world. I'm talking about people that live it, that believe it, act upon it. Those are the kind of people you need to look for godly counsel. People that are following after him. Heads bowed, eyes.